And he that formed thee is, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now that's a pretty encouraging words to a people that have been in captivity, that literally are living in devastation and fear. And the Lord is promising them, I'm with you. I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. Hallelujah. You belong to me. You're mine. Praise God. When thou passeth through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Praise God. What a wonderful promise that's given to the people of God. Fear not, I'm going to be with you no matter what you face. You know, when you grow up in church, like a lot of us have grown up, especially growing up in a Pentecostal church, you learn to expect the presence of God. You learn to expect that God's going to meet with us in the house of the Lord. And I have been, over these many years, I've been in many, many church services where I have sensed the wonderful presence of God. Actually, I like to call it the manifest presence of God. I have sensed the presence of God so real that it was almost tangible. So real that you felt like you could touch it. It was so real, the manifest presence of God. Amen. I remember a few years ago, I traveled down to Beaumont, Texas, to a minister's meeting there that Brother Clendenin had in Beaumont, and we went several years to that meeting, and something like 1,500 mostly preachers, pastors, ministers were in those meetings. It was a minister's conference, but I remember one year in particular. It was always a powerful meeting and a wonderful presence of the Lord, but I remember one year in particular that on the Tuesday night, but usually Brother Clendenin preached all the services, morning and night. He preached the whole week. But that year, he had asked David Wilkerson to preach on Tuesday night. And I was looking around that day, Tuesday, wondering, is he here somewhere? I wanted to see if I could see him. And I noticed him at the back of the building, the back of the auditorium, and he was just pacing back and forth. All the time, Brother Clendenin preached that morning service. And actually, during the early prayer time, I noticed that he was back, just pacing back and forth at the back of the building. And he was just kind of in his own world, just praying praying through all those services. Then Tuesday night, that night, when he got up to preach, and I've been in church all my life. I've been in meetings, church service, Pentecostal meetings all my life. But when he got up to preach that night, there was something like a heaviness that fell upon that place. There was such a manifest presence of God and an anointing upon that service that it was just heavy. You felt the weightiness of the presence of the Lord in that place. It wasn't because of him, I know. It was because of the anointing of God that was resting upon his life, and he'd been seeking God throughout the day, maybe even weeks in preparation for that meeting, and that there was this wonderful presence of God. Amen. And we've grown to expect that in the house of the Lord, and we should expect that God is going to meet with us every time that we come to the house of the Lord. You can go back to the Old Testament when Solomon's temple was dedicated back in 2 Chronicles chapter number 5. It's quite a grand experience. I mean, this amazing temple has been built. And so on the dedication day, that's what that chapter is describing. I mean, there's 120 priests that are blowing trumpets. There are other musical instruments that are being played. And the Ark of the Covenant is carried in to the middle of the temple. There's a procession of many, many priests that come in, musicians and singers. There's thousands of animal sacrifices that are offered in dedication to the temple that day. But the thing that far outweighed all the grandeur of the building, all of the animal sacrifices, all of the music, everything that was taking place, and the thing that far outweighed all of those things was the fact that there was this unbelievable presence of God that came, the glory of the Lord that came into that temple that day. Amen. It says that they sang, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever." Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Praise God. Amen. That's something to be desired, isn't it? That's something to be coveted. Oh God, that you would fill the house of the Lord with your presence and the glory of the Lord, that it would just be, as it was in this case, an overwhelming experience to everyone that was there in that place. Amen. Now, it's one thing to experience it in the house of the Lord, and we have, and we do, and thank God for that. But there's another aspect of this wonderful presence of God that we need, and that is the presence of God that we need when we walk out the door of this building. The presence of God when you go to your job. The presence of God that you need when you go to your classroom, or when whatever that your daily experiences might be. You need the presence of God. We live in such a time right now, and maybe it's because of the readily available news. It's right in our hand. It's in our pocket, and that we read about all the things that are happening, and it's almost like you could get PTSD. There's so many tragic things that are happening. You read about it almost every day. The horribleness of things that are going on in our world. Earlier this year in Los Angeles, there were such terrible fires. There were 23,000 acres that burned, 7,000 structures that were burned, 18 people died. That was just a little earlier this year. Just 8 weeks ago, right here in our own community, a F4 tornado hit our city, 300 homes destroyed, many, many other structures damaged, 19 people lost their lives. And then just in the recent days in Texas, a flood that they have never seen anything like this ever before. An unbelievable situation, devastating floods, 129 people dead, 166 people are still missing. I guess the thing that broke everybody's hearts so much was these little girls in this camp. It just was horrific. You just can't even describe the horribleness of the situation. But I think all of these things happening remind us that every day of our life, we may walk out the door of our home and face some situation, face some tragedy, and we may be up there. Oh, how we need the presence of God to go with us. Amen. We need God's presence with us every day of our life. And some of you may walk into a fiery trial. You may walk into a flood. You may walk into a storm, an unexpected circumstance in your life that you couldn't have imagined that you would ever face. But you find yourself in a storm, in a trial, in a fiery trial. And you need the presence of God in that situation that you're in. Amen. Amen. And that's why we can lay hold of this wonderful promise from Isaiah 43. Amen. I understand that this promise was given to the children of Israel, but it's also a promise that you and I can claim. Fear not, I'm going to go with you. Fear not, I'm going to be with you. If you go through the flood, if you go through the fire, whatever you go through, I'm going to be with you. That's the promise of God. Amen. You know, I don't want to attempt anything. I think it's fine to have programs and plans and do everything you can to have, good things going on in the house of the Lord and the ministries of the church. But I have to tell you, folks, I don't want a program that don't have the power of God in it. I don't want to make any plans where there's no room for the presence of God to be right there in the middle of what God wants to do. Amen. I'm so grateful to have a beautiful building. I'm so grateful for all the wonderful things that we have around here. But none of it means anything if there is not the manifest presence of God at work in our place and in the house of the Lord. Amen. Remember when Moses was stepping out to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he asked the Lord, his prayer is there in Exodus 33, before he leaves. His prayer is a prayer for direction. He said, show me the way, Lord. Show me the direction. And then the Lord assures him, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. Exodus 33 and 14, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said, his response to the Lord in verse 15, he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. What Moses was saying, Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going. If you don't lead me, I'm not going. If you don't show me the way, if your presence is not with me, I'm not going. And the Lord gave to Moses the comforting assurance. He gave him a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that was a reminder to him, I'm going to lead you into this situation. I'm going to lead you. You see, Moses had no promise of where the water was going to come from for 2 or 3 million people. He had no assurance of where the food was going to come from for all this great multitude of people. That's why he said, Lord, if you're not with me, I am not going. If you don't lead me, I'm not going to go. And God gave to him the assurance, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to direct your steps. I'm going to provide for you. We sing a song around here. Sometimes it's a relatively newer song. It says, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Amen. I trust in God. But one of the verses of that song says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's been the fourth man in the fire, no matter what we go through. Of course, the songwriter is talking about the experience of those three Hebrew children who were stolen away down to Babylon. Remember that they were probably teenagers. They were youth. And it was these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that whenever Nebuchadnezzar, who was all filled with pride and so arrogant that he built a statue to himself, 90 foot tall. He built this statue and then commanded that everyone bow to the statue. Everyone. Remember, there were 70,000 Jews that were stolen away and had been taken to Babylon, but there was only three teenagers out of the 70,000 that said, King, I know what you've commanded us to do. I'm paraphrasing here. I know what you've told us to do, but we are not going to bow We are not going to bow to this statue. We are not going to bow. We are going to serve the true and the living God, and we are not going to bow. Amen. Let me tell you, there's a lot of application to that story to our present life right now. There's a lot of things that pretty much the whole society, the whole culture that we live in today wants us to cave in and do things the way that the world says we should do them, right? Amen. Bow down and just leave. And that's what they were telling those Jews to do. Forsake your past. Forsake the things that you have taught about. You've been taught about God. Forsake the law of God. Forsake all of those things and bow down to this idol in a foreign country that you're in. But those three young men said, no, we are not going to bow. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the form of his visage was changed against them. I mean, this is a powerful, powerful man who is so filled with rage that his face is changing, and he is so filled with rage and hatred toward these young men. And he spake and he commanded that the furnace should be heated up 7 times hotter. 7 times hotter. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind them. Now notice, these were the well-trained, the strongest, the mightiest of all of his soldiers to bind these little teenagers and throw them in the furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me tell you, you can't face the fires of the present day world and culture we're living right now. It doesn't matter who you are. These men were the strongest, the most well-trained, the most well-equipped, but they couldn't withstand the situation. They weren't thrown in the fire. All they did was open the door of the furnace, and the heat was so overwhelming that it killed those mighty men. And those three little teenagers who said, we're not going to bow, King. It doesn't matter. He can preserve us alive, but if he doesn't, that's okay. We're going in the furnace. We're willing. We are not going to bow. We're not going to bow. Verse 23, this is Daniel chapter 3. These three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. That's King James for it. He was completely astonished. He was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, it's true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Glory to God. Amen. Now, some of you may have found yourself in a fiery trial. You may have found yourself in some circumstance that's overwhelming to you. But there is a presence of God that goes with us. Sure, we have his presence in the house of the Lord, but we can depend on the presence of God to go with us. And he'll go with you into your fiery trial, into your stormy situation, into the floods, whatever it is you're up against here today. God is with you. His presence is going to go with you into your fiery trial. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The wonderful thing about this situation is these three young teenage boys stood up, and it turned everything in all of Babylon. The whole culture of Babylon was changed because they were willing to take a stand. It's true, because Nebuchadnezzar then said, if anyone dishonors the God of these three young men, I'm going to cut them into pieces. I'm telling you, the culture was changed in Babylon. because they were willing to go into the fire. And they recognized, if I go into the fire, I'm going to go in with the presence of God with me. Folks, we don't have to fear the present times that we're living in right now. We don't have to fear all the things that are going on around us in our world today. Don't be afraid. He is with you. He's going to go with you into the circumstances that you might be in. Hallelujah. There's a verse in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 that says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The really important thing to having the presence of God go with you is being in agreement with the word of the Lord, being in agreement with the promises of God and the word of the Lord. And so if you're not walking in agreement with God's word, you can't expect that God's presence is going to go with you. But if you're walking in obedience and you're walking with the Lord, he's going to walk with you right into your daily situation, right into the fiery trials, right into the furnace. Amen. I was thinking about that verse that says that these three, along with the presence of Jesus, were walking. They were walking around in the fiery furnace. Can you imagine what's going on? I mean, I can't imagine if there's a conversation going on in there, but I think if it was modern day, the young people would be saying, this is unbelievable. This is so cool. We're in the middle of this fire, but our hair isn't even singed. We're not feeling the effect of the fire at all. And why is that? It's because this fourth man's in the fire with us. And they walked out of that furnace and didn't even have the smell of smoke up on their clothes. They weren't even affected by it at all. It was because of the presence of Jesus that was with them in the furnace. Hallelujah. And he'll go with you. Amen. Into your daily situation, into your fiery trial, into your troubles, into your floods, into your stormy situations. It may be in your family that you're going through a fiery trial, in your home, in your marriage, a fiery trial, in your finances, a fiery trial. It may be on your job. It may be in your health. I don't know, but I just want you to be encouraged today to know that whatever you're walking into today, whatever fiery trial that you're in, Jesus is going to walk with you. He's going to be with you. He's going to walk with you into that situation that you are in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts chapter 4 is the account of the disciples, the early church disciples, and the first time that they are facing persecution for the message of the gospel. And they're called before the Sanhedrin and all the important, leaders, Caiaphas and all these different ones are there. They have a lot of power and a lot of authority over them. But the Bible says that Peter stood up and he preached to them that day. And that they could not deny the presence of God that was with them. They couldn't deny it. The boldness that they had. Amen. Set them in the midst and they ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, began to preach to them that day. The scripture says that they, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They knew that the key to their boldness and their ability to stand up in that situation was the fact that they had been in the presence of Jesus. Praise God. That gave them the boldness. It gave them the courage to speak what they preached on that day. Amen. I understand there's no premium on ignorance, but these men were ignorant and unlearned. It just means they didn't have the qualifications to stand up to all those important people that day. But they had what they needed. They had the presence of God. They had the presence of Jesus with them in the middle of that situation. And I just wanted to encourage you today by the word of the Lord that whatever fiery trial you find yourself in today, you can expect that Jesus is going to go with you. Glory to God. Whatever it is, amen. You may not be in some circumstance like that right now, but you could be. You could be by tomorrow. You could walk out the door of your house and find yourself in some fiery trial, some stormy circumstance in your life. Oh, but we have the confidence. We have the promise. We're laying hold of the promise from Isaiah chapter 43, where he said, "You belong to me. You're mine. You are mine. I have formed you. I created you. I redeemed you. You belong to me." Praise God. Amen. You're mine. And when you pass through the water, I'm going to be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle thee. For I am the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Fear not, I am with thee. Glory to God. Can we just stand together and take a moment just to thank God for the promise of his presence to go with us no matter what we might face. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every day, Lord, you are with us. Every day, Lord, we can experience your presence. We're thankful, Lord, that we sense your presence here in the house of the Lord. But I know, Lord, you're not limited to just a building. But, Lord, you can go with us when we walk out the door of this building. You can go with us, Lord, to our jobs. You can go with us to our daily responsibilities. No matter what we're facing, Lord, each day of our life, Lord, you have promised that you are with us. You will be with us. You will provide for us. And we thank you for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I pray that you will lay hold of the promise of God today. Lay hold of the promise of God. Fear not. I'm with you. Amen. No flood, no fire, no circumstance can overcome you because I'm going to be with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Take the word of the Lord and make it personal in your own life, in your own circumstance today. We want to welcome everybody.